Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. I'm excited about having Fred Siegel back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Fred is he's the president of the Siegel Group, which is an investment management firm. He manages over $1 billion of assets himself. He's been a portfolio manager for something over 20 years now. He started when he was only 8. And Fred is folks, in terms of being a broadcaster, Fred makes me look like the new kid on the block. He's been doing this now for a long time, way back into the early 80s. He's not only on radio on Saturdays, just an incredibly successful multi-state distribution with his Saturday afternoon show on investing, but also on television. His book is called Investing for Cowards, which is one of my favorite books and also a great title. Fred, welcome back to the show and Happy New Year.
Hey, it is a pleasure, Jim, but I don't compare with you number of interviews. I mean, how many is it up to now?
Oh, I don't know. I do over 1,000 a year.
I know. That's incredible.
And we're in course,
you learn as you give interviews, you learn from them as well.
You know, that's really the cool thing about this, Fred. In addition to making friends with really cool people like you and meeting some very smart people, I've told my audiences before, and I mean it, I not only enjoy this, and I not only like the idea that you and I are sharing some ideas that maybe other people can use, but I personally benefit from the knowledge that I get from guys like you, and I know you know all about that.
Oh yeah, I experience the same. I don't do as many interviews, but when we do, yeah, we always learn something. If the audience learns, the listeners learn, then I learn too.
Well, I'm such a sponge for stuff, and I'm my biggest my strongest characteristic, I guess, is I'm so curious. I just want to know everything. And one of the things I want to know is what should we invest in? What should us cowards invest in 2004?
You know, just like I mentioned in that book in Chapter 3, the chicken stock strategy is still very, very good. Now, chicken stock, for those who haven't heard this before, those are stocks that meet a criteria that are good for people who are chicken or afraid of the stock market. And they did well the years 2000 to 2003, or during the bad year, the worst stock market in 70 years.
Yeah.
Those stocks as a group were up. And
wow.
So that's a very good testament to the strategy. It's a strategy for people who are a little bit afraid of the market, allows them to get into the stock market, and yet they're not having to worry about it. And these are stocks. Go into detail in that chapter, but for your listeners, if they want to jot this down mentally, make a mental note, these are stocks that have had higher earnings or higher profits every year for at least 12 years, and, no, profits every quarter for at least 12 years. That's even harder,
yeah.
Okay? And they raise their dividends every year for at least 12 years. And one of them, General Parts, that symbol is GPU, they've raised their dividend every year for 50 years.
Wow.
So essentially what you have stocks that have a safety net under them. If they mm-hmm. keep raising their dividend, giving a higher yield, somebody is going to have to pay higher for that stock. It's going to be worth more 2 years from now than it is today, no matter what the market does.
And you call them chicken stocks. I love that term.
That's right. We finally trademarked that name. If you hear chicken stocks, it should be from us. But
that's right.
Those stocks in the future will continue to do well. They'll do as well or better than the stock market in good times, but they will just about always outperform the stock market in bad times. So it kind of helps you to stay in the investment game.
Now, you know, Fred, a stock like that is so boring. I mean, we can't. I want to open up the paper every day and see how my stock is running up, and I want to get some excitement.
Well, these stocks go up, but they're not as exciting as some others. So many people, many of our clients, because, you know, we actually manage money this way, mm-hmm. They found that during the bad times, they weren't boring at all. They were going, wow, we can stay in. We're doing all right. But all their friends...
They were the ones who weren't afraid to go to parties and talk about their stocks during the bad times, were they?
Yeah, you know, the S&P company, the Standard & Poor's company, did a special survey and study for the year 2000 and 2001, and those were two very bad years, and they looked at the Standard & Poor's 500, and they said if an individual had only owned stocks that paid a dividend those 2 years, they didn't have to be chicken stocks, that's even more focused, they have to raise their dividend every year for 12 years, but if you had only owned of the Standard & Poor's 500 the stocks that paid a dividend for 2 years in a row, 2000-2001, you would be up 10.3% those 2 years.
Wow.
So that's the power of a dividend, because the Standard & Poor's 500 as a group was down substantially during
those two years. When we come back, folks, after these messages, I've got some more questions for our good friend Fred Siegel, the author of Investing for Cowards. And I want to talk to him about this new generation of investors out there. You know that we have that, right? In the last 10 years, we have a whole new generation of investors. We're going to talk about that right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Fred Siegel, the author of Investing for Cowards Like Me, Proven Stock Strategies for Anyone Afraid of the Market. And that's, like I said, that's like me. Fred, one of the things I wanted to ask you, by the way, before we go any further, I want you to give us your website, please.
Oh, yeah, it's fredsiegel.com.
S-I-E-G-E-L. S-I-E-G-E-L, fredsiegel.com.
Right.
What do we find when we get there, Fred?
Well, what you find is a little bit about our business, our actual investing company. We're coming up with a new website, too, especially for broadcasts like this, but that's not there yet. So if you go to fredsiegel.com, you'll find some links to my books, and you'll find information about us and how we like to do investing. We're going to develop more educational parts of that site as time goes on. So come back. If you visit once, come back and check and see what's new.
All right. Thanks. That sounds good. And also, I'm sure that your books are available wherever books are sold, on the Amazons and the Barnes & Nobles and places like that. And
that's so correct.
So check that out, folks, and don't forget the I is before the E in Siegel. Fred, as we all know, prior to about 1990 or so, only about 20% of Americans were invested in the stock market. And by the end of the decade, of the last decade, that number was bumping 50%, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes.
What do we know about these new investors? Are they cowards, or are they risk takers?
Well, they were risk takers in the 90s because it looked like you couldn't do anything wrong. You know, I may have mentioned this to you. The definition of a financial genius is a bull or upward moving market and a short memory. People forget that, hey, it can also go down. So they were risk takers. They didn't realize that they were taking as big a risk as they were taking. That's the problem.
Right.
What has happened during the worst stock market in 70 years, that's from 2000, the March of 2000 to October 9th of 2002, what happened there is it brought sobriety back into the marketplace. It got rid of a lot of those people who felt that they were good, you know, they were safe, they were risk takers, but they were okay. They felt that way. They found out they were not. So a lot of people lost a lot of money, and we're still seeing right now, Jim, historic levels of cash on the sidelines.
Even though,
you know, since March 11th, the Nasdaq is up 50%. It's bouncing back. The Dow and S&P are up 20+% for the year, for last year, and that came really since March 11th. We're still seeing a lot of cash on the sidelines. So this is what we call a very unbelieved rally. And those are the kinds that could keep going for a while.
Right. No, exactly. And you know, one of the things that you talked about, all those people who lost their money, they paid a high price to learn that the laws of economics had not been suspended in the 90s.
No, that's for sure. All this new economy stuff went right out the window because that was the only way it could be explained. It was something new. Well, we see that really as you say, it's well put, laws of economics, no, they're going to be the same from now on. You have to really look at value
right. Instead
of just bubbles.
Well, now, the laws of economics are very closely tied to Newton's law of gravity. You know, whatever goes up is going to come down eventually. It's just a matter of time, and you got to track it. You got to make sure you're not standing under those things when they fall. But this new group of investors, they're investing differently now than they did. The 50%, or at least the 30% of the 50% of investors today, they're taking a different approach than the 20% did, most of them previously, aren't they?
Well, you're seeing a lot of different ways to invest, and what has come up on Wall Street is what we call, in Wall Street terminology, investment packages. You know, a lot of them are buying packages. Now, that would mean they're not investing directly in stocks and trying to figure out what's a good stock and get diversity. They're just buying a mutual fund,
mm-hmm.
or they're buying a unit trust, or they're buying a variable annuity. Other people are investing their money, and they're just buying the packages. They're being
right.
sold by Wall Street. Not that that's bad. That has been very profitable at times, as long as you get the right ones.
Right. You know, Fred, every year I publish my predictions in my newsletter.
Oh, okay.
And this year, one of the predictions that I made, and by the way, I predicted in 2003 that the Dow would be over 10,000 at the end of the year, and I was right about that. And
you're preaching to the choir. That's
yeah,
good.
But the thing is, I also predicted one thing. I'm going to tell you one thing, and I'm not sure if I'll tell you the second one, but the first thing I'm going to tell you about my prediction for the stock market for 2004, and I am not an expert like Fred, folks. You all know that. But the thing is, I predicted that the Dow would break the March 2000 record of, I think it's 11,722.98, I think, .98.
Yep.
Whatever that record was, 11,722, I think, I predicted the Dow would break that in 2004. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's very, very possible. We have a good start already. You know, the Dow's at like 10,600-something. So, yeah, it's very possible. We have a lot going for us, actually, Jim. We have an election year, which tends to be good. We have a recovering economy. Instead of one going into the dumps, we're finding a slow recovery. We have a few potholes here and there, but
right.
it's better for the stock market for the recovery to be slow and steady
mm-hmm.
than to be too fast. So everything it seems to be in place, and plus we have a lot of cash on the sidelines. So far, this has been an unbelieved stock market,
mm-hmm.
yet we have a lot of stocks are now at new all-time highs, and that list is growing. So everything from a technical perspective is go for your prediction to come true. Now, when it comes to fundamentals, it looks like a go as well, because corporate profits are rising with the economy, and so I would back you up on that prediction. We may be two of the few that would agree with that.
Well, I actually went a little nuts on another prediction. I'm going to hold that one. I'm not even going to tell you about that one because I'm actually a little bit afraid of that prediction. But anyway, when we come back, folks, I also predicted what I thought about what was going to happen to what I call the current expansion. And I'm going to ask Fred what he thinks about that when we come back after these messages and what he thinks that could mean to the stock market and to your investments. 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Fred Siegel, the author of Investing for Cowards. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having more fun than the law allows with our good friend Fred Siegel, the author of Investing for Cowards, of which I certainly am one when it comes to the stock market. The website is fredsiegel.com. Is that right, Fred?
Right.
And that's S-I-E-G-E-L, Siegel.
There's all kind of ways to spell Siegel.
Yeah, exactly. This has got the I before the E. But you know, Fred, one of the things I promised to you and my other friends who are stock market experts is that I don't do stock picks. I don't do stock market shows other than with you holding people like you holding my hand. And I promise you guys that I won't do that if you won't do small business stuff. And so that's my deal with you. But one of
that's
the things,
a good deal.
One of the things, Fred, that I predicted this year and that I've written an article about and explained why I feel that way. I think we're actually out of the recovery. I think we're already in the expansion. And I predicted, and I've written about this, that the current expansion is going to be longer and stronger than the last one, the last 18-year expansion we had that ended in, I guess, March or April of 2000. That's what I predicted.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I think we got the bad stuff behind us. The pendulum actually swung too far as far as the market is concerned. You know, the market sometimes will overreact on the downside, because even though we had a bad economy, it was not nearly as bad as the stock market. And so part of the recovery in the market is a bounce back. And eventually people, the powers that be, the big money managers, will begin to see that the economy is recovering and it should last a long time. And I think that's going to really help the stock market and give it another big boost in the year ahead.
One of the reasons why I think this expansion is going to be stronger, a couple of reasons, Fred, is because we're not still fighting the Cold War like we were for half of the last expansion. We are in a war on terrorism, but the resources that were committed to the war, to the Cold War, the war on terrorism is going to pale in comparison to the commitments that we made for the Cold War. The trying to avoid the mutually assured destruction scenarios, mm-hmm. and that's one thing. Also, look at who we're trading with now. 20 years ago, we were aiming missiles at China. Now we're aiming boats at each other. with goods and services. I mean, look at the entrepreneurialism that's breaking out all over the world.
Yeah, that's very insightful, Jim. We're looking at that too, and with the demise of the Cold War and the uniting of much of the world against terrorism, it has been a uniting factor.
Yes.
We're starting to see trade spring up, and the more international trade there is, the better we're going to be able to benefit, because the United States and North America really leads the world. Now, the Europeans with their euro are horning in, and the Pacific Rim a little bit, but mm-hmm. I think the United States will continue to be a major power, and we will continue to benefit as the world improves in their economies, and especially in South America.
The 21st century is going to really, well, I think we have an incredible opportunity to see something to blossom and to bear fruit that we've talked about, but we haven't really seen the full benefit of yet, and that's the peace dividend. I really believe that. 150 years ago, the great French economist and part-time comedian Frederick Bastiat said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't." And I think that's going to be the legacy for the 21st century from the 20th century, and that's that we kill communism, basically, and if we can just get this terrorism thing under control, then there's one other thing, Fred, and that's Japan. Japan is starting to come out of its depression, its 14-year depression.
Yeah, you have China, you have Japan. Really, the Pacific Rim, the entire Pacific Rim is looking pretty good because they have been down for a long time.
So there are good opportunities,
investment opportunities in both places.
I was going to ask you, do you recommend international stocks?
Yeah. I think as the international economy comes back, it's in a similar position to the United States economy. And for a little diversification, some international stocks are good. You can buy them as ADRs, as stocks, or it's one of the times that maybe a good mutual fund would pay, because let some of the experts pick.
Fred, if you're in the Southeast, Texas, all the way over to Florida, up to maybe as high as Tennessee, you can listen to Fred's show on the radio. Fred, tell us how to do that on Saturday afternoon, 12 to 2 Central Time. How do we do that?
Central Time is WWL, 870 AM. It's a 50,000-watt clear channel.
It's a flamethrower, WWL, 870 on the AM channel, 12 to noon Central Time on Saturdays. And if you're anywhere around the Southeast, 6 or 7 states, you can hear Fred and give him a call and tell him hi. Tell him you heard about him on this show. Fred, thank you for being here.
It has been a pleasure, and I look forward to having you on my show.
We're going to do that real soon. I'm looking forward to it, too. Thanks, Fred.
Okay.
Fred Siegel, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.